Hey, this is Derek Wooten. I'm lead pastor of Makers Church here in Cincinnati, Ohio, where our desire is to make disciples and make a difference. Thank you so much for joining us through our podcast. We pray this message speaks life and encouragement into you and what God is doing in your life. Hope you enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, band. Hey, it's me again. Hey, it's good to see you today. We've got a team of, I know my husband and my son, others, husbands and sons and family members are in Honduras today. They're going to be going into services pretty soon. They're about 2 hours behind us. So we just bless Pastor Derek and everybody else that's there. God is already using them. They're going to build the kingdom. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Well, yes, it is. And we're going to talk about that today. So, but before we do that, I just want to publicly thank every Dream Team member of Makers Church. We had an incredible night on Wednesday. We've got services today. We've got things going on next week and the next. And it doesn't happen without you, without people, with the hands and hearts of the people. So can we put our hands together and just thank every servant leader, every Dream Team member, the kids, the music, the media. Yeah. We'll just put a spotlight on you because you're still up here. And he can play good, can't he? Oh, man. I heard the ice cream bar was really great on Wednesday. Notice I said heard because you all ate it before I could get to it after church. But that's okay. That's okay. I'm excited. I have the opportunity to bring the word to you today. And I truly do believe the Lord has laid a word on my heart about his kingdom. So just get ready, nudge somebody, say, get ready, get ready. We're going to get into the word. We're going to be challenged in our faith. Over and over again in scripture, we see, especially once Jesus arrived on the scene in the flesh, we see teachings and parables and lessons and demonstrations of the kingdom. Everybody shout the kingdom. The kingdom. In fact, it can be said that the kingdom was the central focus and theme of Jesus' entire ministry. Even when he was being introduced on the scene by his cousin John the Baptist, you can see it in Matthew 3, 2. John said, repent, for the kingdom is near. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we stand here, not a building, not a house, but the kingdom. Lord, we're part of a global kingdom and a global work that you're doing. God, we want to be so involved. We want to be so available. Lord, we want to be the hands and the feet. We want to be builders of your kingdom. So God, bless this word today. Bless our hearts to receive it and our hands to put it into action. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you. So the term kingdom is one that we actually hear often, even outside of the church. Now, I'm not going to talk about the little mouse and his magic kingdom. But kingdom is something that we hear more often than we realize. But it's not a fairy tale concept. It is not something that was made up by authors or script writers. But the reality of the kingdom is just that. It's very real. The reality of the kingdom is eternal. It's eternally relevant because there are really two kingdoms. There's not Magic Kingdom and King's Island. That's not a kingdom name, but there's two eternal kingdoms in which one of these two kingdoms will be the final destination for all of humanity. What are they? What's the kingdom of God, and it's the kingdom of darkness. Now, we are made for kingdom living. You and I are made for kingdom living. Preparing for this message this week, my thoughts wandered back to when our kids were little. And like many kids, they were drawn to the fairy tales, the castles, kings and queens and prince and princesses. You know, all the kingdom stuff. This idea of kingdom and royalty is attractive to us even at a young age. Why? Well, I would say it's because we were built for the kingdom. I would say it's because the idea of kingdom and royalty is attractive to us because we're made for kingdom living and we're created to be royal through the royal bloodline of Jesus. Is that too deep to start with? Okay, I know it's not. Look at the person next to him. Say, you're sitting next to royalty. Yeah, sons and daughters of the king. I heard some people really feel that out there. That's good. Let them know. And our one true purpose, destiny, is to be citizens and heirs of the kingdom of God. That is our destiny. We are kingdom citizens. And there's one focus today in particular with the kingdom of God that we're gonna hone in on because it's very relevant and applicable to where we are going with our lives, with our church in this season that we're living in today. And we're gonna find it very simply put in the Lord's Prayer, and it says, let your kingdom come. Can you say that? Say, Lord, let your kingdom come. That's very simple, yet it's not so simple. Whose kingdom? The Father's. God, maker of heaven and earth, creator of and sustainer of all life. Everything that we see, touch, feel, all matter, every cell, it has one intelligent creator and designer, and that is King Jesus, right? Psalm 24:1, it says, the earth is whose? The Lord's. And all its fullness, the world and all who dwell in it belong to him. In John 1, you know the scripture, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says, the Word was with God in the beginning. You can almost kind of wrap it. That's what we did at the academy this year, teaching the kids these scriptures. But I won't do that for you. We can do that later. Sorry. I'm really tempted, but I'm not going to do it. But in the beginning was the Word. And then jump down to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is the Word? It's Jesus. Jesus came to a sinful, a broken, and a fallen world. Why did he come? Well, John tells us that answer in chapter 3, verse 16. Because God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus, that whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now look, right there we see the contrasting kingdoms, life and death. The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness. Those are our two options. And Jesus is the determining factor. Jesus is that bridge that allows us to move from death to life. That's why we honor, worship, praise, and live for Jesus. Where would we be without Jesus? Jesus stepped out of heaven. We just sang about it, and what a beautiful name. He stepped out of heaven, and he brought the kingdom to earth. He brought the culture of God's kingdom and the reality of God's kingdoms to the hearts and minds of man once again. Let's put it this way. He was bringing the revelation that God's kingdom is not just established through law, but it's established through love. Somebody say love. He loves us. So he had to come because God's perfect will was not death, disease, discord, or destruction. That was not God's original plan. So Jesus came to put things back in order. Aren't you glad he did? Oh, I'm so glad he did. He came not only to conquer death, hell, and the grave, which he did, hallelujah, but he came to bring back relationship. See, Jesus came to tear down that separation. That's why the veil tore. You can see that in Matthew 27, 50 and 51. It says Christ gave up his spirit. As soon as he died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, all the way. And this was no paper towel curtain. This was an inch thick curtain that only God himself could have torn at that exact moment, signifying that there's no longer separation between me and God. We no longer have to go through a religious system or go through a priest or a man, but you and I can now approach the throne of grace with confidence. We have access because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So to put it simply, Jesus came to recover the loss of relationship. Everybody say relationship. and the rulership, say rulership, of God. He came to recover the loss of relationship and the rulership of God. The king came to make it right. You know, when things get out of order at your house because you're not there, all you got to do is go home. The atmosphere shifts. At least it does with my kids. Mom's here. No, they're not scared of me. I don't think. If they are, it's a good holy fear. But anyways, the king came to put things back in order. And we see him over and over teaching about the kingdom of God, unlocking the keys of the culture and the ways of heaven to a world that so desperately needed it. Can you imagine had he never came? Okay, so the next words that we're about to read and study is what he taught his followers. How many of you are a follower of Jesus? Say amen. All right, we got some in the house. He was teaching his disciples how to pray, how to talk, how to walk this kingdom life out on earth. And it began like this. And feel free to say it with me out loud. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Amen. We jump back into our worship. Thine is the kingdom. Such a beautiful and a powerful prayer. There's so much for us to glean from in all of that. But today we're going to focus in on those four words, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. There is a battle of kingdoms for territory, for ownership. And Makers Church, we are a family and we are an army. And God is calling us to rise up and take ground for the kingdom in this season, in our city, in our region, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our homes. Let your kingdom come. So Jesus said those words, let your kingdom, let your authority, your dominion, your rule, let it come. Let it be established. Let your authority be established. Now, why would Jesus tell us to pray this if it was already all done and taken care of? Let your kingdom come. Let your will, God, your desires, your wishes be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, all of us in here are given different talents, different abilities, different personalities and characteristics. We don't wake up and all do the same thing every day in the same ways with the same thoughts and all that. But I will tell you today one thing we all do have in common, and that is our kingdom assignment. Now, the who, the when, the where, the why, that's not, no matter what those are, the what is the same for all of us. Look at somebody, say, what's the what? What's the what? And it's to advance and build the kingdom of God. That is the what, to build the kingdom of God. Well, how is it going to be done? It will be built. Any builders in the room? Yeah? You all actually should have raised your hand. That was somewhat of a trick question. The kingdom of God will be built. Where will it be built? In the hearts of mankind. It's not going to be built on land. It's not going to be in a building, but the construction zone is right here in our very heart. Now remember, once the veil was torn and the presence of God was no longer relegated to a temple or a tabernacle or a building, but the shift came and forever will be until we see Jesus face to face, that we are now the tabernacle. We are the temple. We are the place where his kingdom is being built. Somebody say, it's in me. If you were here last Sunday during second service, as we were nearing the end of worship, we ended up just stopping. We bowed, we got still, we lingered, and we waited on God. And it was just such a beautiful and powerful moment together, yet so simple. But why do we do those sort of things? What was happening? Well, his spirit was working. What was he working on? He's working on our hearts. What's he doing in there? Well, I like to call it construction. What's he building? The kingdom of God. What's going on in those moments? He's building his kingdom in our hearts. And we must give him space and a place to build and to work. How many of you know that sometimes before new construction can take place, there's got to be some demolition happening? Yeah. You get out that sledgehammer. You watch them on those shows. I don't get out the sledgehammer. But they do it on the shows, and they bust up the countertops, and they're taking out the cabinets, and they're breaking down the walls. And it makes you just want to go do it yourself. But don't, unless you're a builder. It's fun watching those things, but it's not so much fun when the demo needs to be done in us, is it? In our hearts. There's going to be both demolition and construction in the hearts of man when it comes to building the kingdom. There has to be. So we will pray things and say things and sing things like, Lord, give me your heart. God, give me a clean heart. Lord, renew a right spirit within me. And these are incredible and right and righteous prayers to pray. And when we pray those things, get ready, because a real work will begin. Anybody been there? Anybody still there? My hand's up. So you look at, you think about, let's go to Matthew 19, where there's the rich young ruler. And he wanted to inherit and have the kingdom of God fully. And, you know, he went and he asked Jesus, what do I have to do to get it? And most likely, my thoughts, if we were there, is that a lot of people probably looked at him and said, that dude's got it all together. Look at him. He is impressive. Look how good he is. Jesus is probably going to pat him on the back and say, thank you for all you've done. But is that what happened? No, because Jesus saw him and went straight to his heart. And for this young man, there was a love and a dependency on and a dependence on earthly riches in his heart. And when Jesus saw that, he pointed it out. He said, look, go sell all that you have and come follow me. The Bible says, you can read it later, it says he literally went away sad because he had great possessions. So he was given the opportunity for some demo, for some construction, but he left. And he left sad. It was what was in his heart. What does Jesus see when he looks in our hearts? If we had that moment with him face to face and we say, Jesus, we want it, what will he say? What will he see in our hearts? What kind of demolition may need to take place in us? 1 Samuel 16, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And we can put on a show and we can convince people, but see, the Lord looks at the what? He does, and I want to say this because that is not a scary or threatening statement. God looks at your heart. That's not fear. It's love. Listen, it doesn't mean he's looking at your heart to keep an eye out on you. Well, something bad's in there. I knew it. That's not why he's looking at your heart. He's keeping an eye on your heart because he knows that that is what is most valuable. He's concerned and aware about what's in our hearts. Let's put it this way. He knows the value of your heart real estate. It's priceless. And he's already paid that price. He's already bought that real estate, and he watches over what he cares about. He watches over what he's invested in. Your heart, paid with the blood, the precious, pure, and holy blood of Jesus Christ. You've been bought with a price, and this is where the kingdom's going to be built. It's not oceanfront. It's not lakefront. It's not the suburbs. It's not farmland. It's heartland. Everybody say, it's heartland. It's the land that is in my heart. This is where the kingdom will be built. So we cannot say, man, I want to build the kingdom of God, but ignore the condition of our hearts. We can't do that. We can't say, I care about the kingdom. I want to do the work of the king, but then not address the things within us that conflict with the culture of the kingdom. This is where the king wants to build. Let your kingdom come. Jesus said, let your will be done. Now, Jesus intentionally, he never did anything accidentally, right? He intentionally put these things back to back. Let your kingdom come. Let your, right next to each other. It's like salt and pepper, like peanut butter and jelly. Let your kingdom come, then your will be done. So his kingdom comes when his will is being done. Did you catch that? His kingdom can only come in hearts who surrender to his will. He can only establish his kingdom in surrendered hearts that say, your will be done. Whose will? The Father's will. Well, what is the Father's will? How can I do the Father's will? Well, what's in his heart? What's in the Father's heart? People. Relationship with mankind. Everything he's done has been about and for relationship. If I could summarize it, I would say that his heart is to love and lead people into freedom. Love and lead people into freedom. And if we have the Father's heart, then the desires that are stirring within us are going to be similar to his. Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your. So delighting in him leads to desires from him. Now, I used to think that that meant that if I was happy with God, he would give me what makes me happy. Just me? That's all right. Kind of like, Lord, I delight in you. Now give me that car I desire. I receive it. Lord, I delight in you. Now work that situation out the way that I desire it to be done. Go ahead, Lord. I'm doing what you said. No, that's not how it works. Because when I truly began to delight myself in the Lord, and not people, not things, and not circumstances, I began to see a shift in the desires of my heart, and I tell you, I don't ever want to go back. It was as if a heart transplant began within. You know what I'm talking about. It's where my priorities went from getting what I thought I wanted and what I thought would fulfill me to, I just want to please you, Lord. I care more about giving than getting. I'm looking for ways to sacrifice instead of save. Listen, Melissa of the past would not be able to stand up here and say, listen, you should sow your seed because God will give it back. I was stingy. I was the middle of three girls, and I held on to everything I could get. I did. I literally swallowed my offering one time as a kid so I wouldn't have to give it. I mean, this is just confessional time. We all saw it later there on the floor after I threw it up. I don't recommend that. That was not in my notes. I will regret that later. But I'm just letting you know that the Lord has done a work in me, and he's done a work in you, and he's not done with us. He's not done with us. So going from how can I serve, I want to serve well instead of succeed, you know, our priorities change. And you are my delight, Lord, and my desires are for you. And God will continue to work and refine us. Aren't you glad he never stops working? He never stops working. And we see, though, we have a picture of what a truly pure and yielded heart looks like in mankind, and it's in Jesus. And we can see in Matthew 26 as he's in the garden before he's going to go and be crucified and go through all of that he had to go through. He prays and he says, Lord, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. The Bible says three times he prayed that. And then he didn't just pray it, but he walked it out. He didn't just say the words in church. He walked it out. And he willingly laid it all down. No backup plan. No plan B. Can you just imagine how different things would be if Jesus would have just done it halfway? If he would have backed out or was only half obedient to the Father? How different the story would be. Now, can we imagine if we didn't go only just halfway in? If we fully walked in obedience, what it would look like? What would the story of our lives be for the kingdom of God? Fully surrendered to him. See, Jesus' mission, his what, is the same as ours. To lay down our lives and build the kingdom of God. To do the will of the Father. To do the will of the Father. And you know what? When he came and when he did that, the kingdom of heaven, it landed and it exploded on the earth. And it's never been the same since. Let your kingdom come. Somebody shout that out. Let your kingdom come. What is the kingdom of God? Quickly, let's start with what it is not. The kingdom is not religion. Okay, the kingdom is, those religious spirits, they are not from the kingdom of God. In fact, the kingdom of God rocked and continues to rock the religious world. So it's not about control. It's not about politics. It's not about being seen. It's not about who's got the biggest church, who's got the biggest numbers, who's got the most money. It's not about manipulating people, self-seeking or self-serving. That is not the kingdom. It is not religious. The kingdom is not revealed through religion, but through another R word, relationship. So the kingdom is not religion. The kingdom is not built by structures and systems. Okay, it's not going to look the same everywhere. So don't put it in a box. Don't criticize it if it looks different than what you've seen it done here. The kingdom will look the way the king wants it to, where he wants it to. Amen? Okay, can we just say that now? It's built by the Spirit, not by a structure or a system, so we don't want to put it in a box. Now, there will be similar characteristics. Those principles won't change, right? So let's not put it in a box, though. Then the kingdom of God is not a platform for people. I just want to step off right now. I'm only up here to speak something. Listen, there's only room for one king in this kingdom, and it is King Jesus. Everybody say, King Jesus. So as soon as it becomes about people, when it becomes about titles and popularity, that's no longer the kingdom of God being built. That's man's kingdom. The kingdom of God is not just about people and positions and titles. And I'll tell you what, it's not just for certain people. Everyone is eligible. Everyone. It's for all people. The kingdom of God is not just an idea or a discussion. It is demonstrated, it is displayed, and it is real. The kingdom of God, it is life, and life more abundantly. It is joy. It is peace. It is, there's no lack in the kingdom. It's love, and it is freedom. Let's sum it up like this. The kingdom of God is where the king rules and reigns. His characteristics, his culture, his heart. So, how do we know if we're building up the kingdom of God? Well, it's an excellent question for us to stop and consider today. How do I know if I'm building up his kingdom? Why are you doing what you do? Why are you saying what you say? Why are you feeling what you feel? We have to examine our own hearts. It's between you and God, right? And so the pure ingredients that make up the kingdom of God, notice I said pure ingredients, they're not going to mix with compromise, selfishness, greed, pride. If those things are in our hearts, it's time for some demo. And I'll tell you this, there are moments for all of us where things, the enemy's going to try to bring things into our hearts. No matter how pure and honest and we truly, Lord, I want to build up your kingdom, the enemy is going to constantly try to bring things in that don't need to be there. And when that happens, don't ignore it. Don't distract yourself from it. And don't put it off to another day. When the Holy Spirit reveals things that are in your heart, stop and address it. Let him do the work that only he can do. The kingdom is going to be built, and you've prayed for it. You've asked him to do it. Let him do it. Let him do it. Let him do the work, because God will expose things to us. I don't ever want him to stop. So let the Holy Spirit expose things and bring conviction. Conviction is a blessing. And your reasons, your motives, your affections, he refines and he purifies us. Allow him to do it. Okay, well, how do I allow him to do it? Time with the king. So why do we take time and we be still? It's not for a nap. It's time for him to work. Why do we pray? Why do we seek answers? Why would we study the Proverbs? Why discipleship? Why extra classes and time in God's word? Why train and push ourselves and look for things? It's not that we're bored and looking for more things to fill our time. Can I get an amen? It's because we understand that God's kingdom is going to have to be built, and it's going to happen in me and then through me. In me, then through me. So every time you study, the kingdom is being built. Every time you worship in spirit and truth, the kingdom is being built. Every time you get on your knees and pray, the kingdom is being built. Every time you reach out, every time you go on that missions trip, you show up, you teach a class, you give an offering, what is happening? The kingdom is being built. It's another brick, another nail, another wall, another level to thy kingdom come. So we went King James Version on you there. Your kingdom come, thy kingdom come. This is how the kingdom of God will be built. There is no other way. So how can we win a city? Well, we're going to go buy up all the land, put Jesus flags everywhere and say, this is Jesus' territory. No, that's not going to win a city. The queen city will become the king city one heart at a time. By multiplying yielded and submitted hearts to the king, that's how the kingdom of God will come to Cincinnati. That's how he'll come to our land. We are builders. God is calling us, Makers Church, to be builders. And understand this, everyone is building a kingdom right now. All of us are building kingdoms right now as we speak. So the question is, what kingdom is it? Now, I just see so many seasons in my life where I want to say spent time, but really I wasted time trying to build my own kingdom, the kingdom of self, whether it was self-preservation, self-promotion, whatever self, there were times, and I'm telling you what, it was exhausting trying to do it my way, trying to do it the way I wanted so I could have what it's exhausting, isn't it? Anybody ever spent time trying to build the kingdom of self? Okay, we're not going to be honest. That's fine. It's exhausting. It wears you out. It tears you down, and it can make you miserable. I won't ask if anybody's miserable. But I will tell you this. Once I figured out whose kingdom I was really built to build, I may work harder. I may sweat more. I may pour out more to build his kingdom, but I have never been more energized. I've never been more fulfilled. I've never had more peace, more joy, more love, more purpose. It's overwhelming. And it's because, I'm going to tell you why, because building the kingdom will not deplete you. It will fill you up over and over and over and over and over and over again. There is that saying, you know, you give an inch, they'll take a mile. Well, I'm telling you this, you give the Holy Spirit an inch, he will give you a mile. He will do things through you that you never could have done. He will speak things through you never would have spoken. He will build through you. You will see miracles. You will see salvations. You give him that inch and watch him give you a mile. That's just how good he is. That's just how great he is. And you will stand here and say, look what God has done in me and through me. So look, let's quit trying to impress and let's start to invest. Get our eyes off of us and get our eyes on him. Quit focusing on building your own kingdom, building kingdoms of this world, and let's get caught up in building the kingdom of God. How will I build his kingdom today? God, what do you want to do through me? Make sure that you are building his kingdom. Remember, it's going to look different for all of us, but the what is the same. Build the kingdom of God. Build the kingdom of God, and you will do that by investing in hearts. Everybody say hearts. That's important because the kingdom comes to our hearts. So don't be so busy with all the other things and not build the kingdom. So don't be too busy to listen to your coworker when they're having a bad day. You have no idea what God wants to do in that moment. Don't be too busy to stop and ask questions when you feel the tug of the Holy Spirit telling you to. Don't be too busy to teach a kid's class once or twice a month. Every time you do, you're building the kingdom of God. Don't be too busy to stop and pray with your kids. Build the kingdom. Build the kingdom. We are building the kingdom of God is one heart at a time. It's one brick at a time. Rome wasn't built in a day. That road construction outside our church was not done in a week. Bless the Lord, it's still not done, but it's going to get done. And we are building his kingdom, and this is our lifelong assignment. This is our lifelong assignment. So the kingdom of God, it's about the heart of God. And what's in the heart of God? People. Everybody say people. And God will use us to reach people. In fact, look at somebody right now and say, God wants to use you. That's the truth that was just spoken over you. God wants to use you. If you build it, the kingdom will come. So be a builder. Everybody say, I'm a maker and I'm a builder. Builders, makers build and builders make. Last week, I was speaking with a family who moved back to this area, and they're looking for a home to buy right now. God bless the folks that are looking for homes to buy right now. It's kind of a very high and tough market, isn't it? But once that happens, once you acquire, you know, the land or the house, when you buy a home or land, you're going to build your house. You're going to do your landscaping, your driveway, your mailbox. You're going to build your little kingdom. Because you paid for that land and it's yours to build on. Remember, you were bought with a price. You've been purchased with the precious, life-giving blood of Jesus. You should feel love when you hear that, by the way. And the ultimate price was paid for the real estate of your heart. And that same price was paid for the real estate of everyone else's hearts. They're just as valuable. They're just as worthy. they're just as loved. So we have this battle of kingdoms, and I've got good news. If you don't know, you're going to know that the victory has already been won. The course has been set. It's already been written down and completed. Heaven wins. The kingdom of God wins. Praise the Lord. That's a reason to shout hallelujah. Yes. But the decision comes down now to every single individual heart. Every heart. What kingdom will take up residency in you? What kingdom will you be a part of building? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? Jesus finished that phrase. He said, let your kingdom come, let your will be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Now, I'm not going to go into grounding. Have y'all heard about grounding? Earthing, where you connect your body with the earth and it's good for you. That's all I'm going to say. You can talk to Pastor Jeff about it if you need more details. I don't know yay or nay either way, but it makes sense to me that would be good for our bodies, because Genesis 2:7, it says that the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground of the earth. And then he breathed his breath into him. You and I, we're made up of two key ingredients, the earth and the Spirit of God. So when we pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. Wait, that's me. I come from this earth. I am this earth. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in me as it is in heaven. Let your will be done. So this isn't just a prayer we pray for the coming age where the kingdom will be established forever, but it's about lives and hearts right now. It's about what God is calling us to do with the time that we are given, with the resources that we're given, with the influence that you have, with the relationships that you have, with the opportunities that we have every single day. You're a builder. Build the kingdom. Build the kingdom of God. We are in a year of rising, and I just see spiritual high rises everywhere. This is how we will rise. We will build. We will build the kingdom in us. And then we will go build the kingdom in others. Come on, does anybody feel that today? This is the word of God for Makers Church. We are makers and we are builders. And our assignment is to build his kingdom. To be about that Father's business. You know, before our worship team comes on stage, every Sunday, before each service, we get together and we pray and we end every prayer with, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And ever since we've been declaring that, I tell you what, it's made a difference. There's more freedom, there's more power, there's more everything, because we've invited the King to come and take control. We've asked him, your will, not my plan, not my desire. We rip up the order of service over and over and over again. Some of you need to rip up the order that you've got controlling your life and your homes, and you need to declare, Lord, let your kingdom come. God, let your will be done, not mine, but yours, Father. Your will be done. My heart and my will and my desires become his, because there's a kingdom that never ends. Yes, it goes on and on, my friends. Don't make me sing that. A Savior started building it, knowing exactly what it was. And we'll continue building it forever just because. Come on, who knows lamb chops with me here today? Come on, stand with us today. I can hear Pastor Derek now. I can't believe you brought lamb chops into your sermon. Somebody say, I'm a maker and I'm a builder. If we want to be builders, and I know without a doubt, there are hearts in here that are hungry to build. They want to build. Then we must allow the King the place and the space to build and to do his work in me. Then through me. Oh, Lord, I don't want you to do all of these amazing things through me, but it not happen in me. God doesn't want that either. You matter to him. You matter so much. He sees you right now. His eyes are on you. His affections are for you. Jesus is interceding for you right now. Songs of love and deliverance are being sung over you right now. Not the you of 10 years from now. Not the cleaned up, perfected. You, how you are right now. He loves you. And he wants to do a work in you. You're built for this. You're built to build. And you're built to be a kingdom maker and builder. So some of us in this room, we're going to spend some time letting the builder build. Is that okay with you? We're going to spend some time, maybe some demolition needs to take place. Remember, if he's working on you and exposing things to you that are in your heart, don't delay. Let him do it today. And some of you, you got it cleaned out, but you need some things to be built. You need some courage. You need some faith. You need some joy, some love. All of the things of the King come when the kingdom is built. Some of us, all of us, have the same commission to allow the kingdom of God to be built. And I'm just going to say this, and then we're going to spend some time with the King. You're called here and chosen here for this time. And I love you, and God loves you, but it is not just about you, okay? That's a selfish church. If I just, Lord, do it in me, do it in me. No, in me and what? Through me. So you're supposed to be where you are in this place, in that family, in your neighborhood, your schools, your coworkers, your Uber driver, your server at the restaurant. The people that run into you are all prime real estate for the kingdom of God to be built on. So listen, Romans 10, 14 and 15. How can they call on him though, unless they believe? And how can they believe if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? So how will all of those people know unless we go? If we don't go. So we don't just want to pray the prayer. Jesus didn't say, nevertheless, your will be done. And then he went and got pizza. Then he walked it out. Good, bad, happy, sad, painful. But it changed the world. See, you can change the world for somebody. He's changed your world. Now go and do it. Go make disciples. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Be the gospel. Share the love of Jesus. I can tell you right now that this is the heart of the people that God continues to bring to this church. And I'm not just talking about the older folks. The younger folks are getting passionate and stirred up about winning the lost, about building the kingdom. This is not just church talk. This is life talk. This is the reality. And God has called Makers Church to make disciples and make a difference and to continue to rise in influence and in action in our city and region. And it's not because Makers Church is so great, but it's because there are people here with yielded and submitted hearts who are not in it for themselves, but they're saying, Lord, whatever you want to do, whatever I can do, I just want to serve you. I just want to be used to build up your kingdom. Is that anybody's heart today? Fist pump somebody, say, let's go. I'm going to end with this scripture, and then we're going to do just what it says. Matthew 6:33, you know it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't seek notoriety. Don't seek social media followers. Don't seek self-promotion or preservation. Seek the kingdom of God. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Come on, let's close our eyes all over the room where you are right now. Holy Spirit, we're giving the time and the space for you to come and build. Now look, I can't build it in you. It's going to be the Holy Spirit, you allowing him. So God, we right now, we just say our hearts are open. Our hearts are open. Lord, there's no do not enter sign on our hearts. God, there's an invitation. There's a welcoming committee. God, we are waiting and ready and excited for you to come and do the work that only you can do. Man cannot do it. Religion cannot do it. Systems and structures cannot do it. But God Almighty, your spirit can. And your spirit is here right now. And God, we make room for you.